Now, if you would, turn to Romans chapter 5 again. Now, I've kind of already went by chapter 5. But as a brief reminder, we've been talking about the fact that God chose a people. We're now on the third part of this. That is these people, that is this chosen people, the elect of God. We would be just like all the rest of mankind. That's as we are conceived and as we are born into this world, we have no more righteousness, no more justification, no more anything in and of ourselves. We have no more than anybody else, even the reprobate. The elect are born just like the reprobate. As a matter of fact, let me state it this way. By nature, we are reprobate. Okay? Because as I've studied Scripture, I've never found anywhere where God is going to do anything with that Adamic nature, other than one day get rid of it. That's all I find. That Adamic nature is reprobated. It is rejected. It is cast off. Okay? And that's the way we were born.
Yes, sir.
We were not born reprobate in the purpose of God, but we were born reprobate by nature. That's reprobate in Adam. Of course, this is not a pleasant subject. Remember I said we were judged and condemned to a fallen state in the one sin of our father Adam. And again, let me just reiterate this. You see, in Romans 5, it says, and let me see if I can read that, verse 18, therefore as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Yes, now, generally, many people's minds then begin to think of hell or the lake of fire. But that's not the judgment, that's not the condemnation here. Our judgment and our condemnation was to be as is stated in the next verse. For as by one man's disobedience, many were, and here's the judgment, here's the condemnation, many were made sinners.
Amen.
You see, it is truth that no one goes to hell for Adam's one sin. That's not what the book teaches. The book teaches we were all made sinners by Adam's one sin. And because we are now personally sinners, we all, apart from the grace of God, apart from the grace of God, all men will go to hell.
Yes, sir.
Apart from that grace of God. So let us state that clearly, that original sin does not mean Adam committed one sin and everybody just winds up going to hell. That's not what the book teaches. It says, wherefore, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So again, I say we were judged and condemned to a fallen state in the one sin of our father Adam. Next, we were conceived and born into a sinful state. We've looked at that. Thirdly, we were estranged from God from the womb. We didn't become sinners. We didn't grow into being a sinner.
No, that's right.
We were, as the Scripture puts it, we were actually conceived and born in sin. Both. Conceived in sin and born in sin. So we were estranged from God from the womb. And as it says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go forth speaking lies as soon as they be born. No matter what objections some people might bring against that, that's the declaration of God, and God understands truth. That's not, has nothing to do with the opinion of men.
Exactly.
As I told you, I had one person tell me, well, you know, the only answer, it was discussing the depravity of man, said, well, you know that babies can't talk.
Yeah.
And that may sound, but folks, that is a sad, pitiful state of heart and mind.
Yes, sir.
When someone reads the declaration of God against man and they come up with some little pitiful objection to the truth of God based upon human rationalism.
Yes, sir.
rather than saying, that's what the book says, whether I understand it or not.
Amen.
You know? They're always trying to somehow find some excuse to justify either themselves or someone else.
Yes, sir.
The scripture says we're estranged from God from the womb.
That's right.
We don't come to an age of accountability.
No.
We're conceived and born accountable.
Yes, sir.
And I haven't went into this, but let me say this morning. I want to make this distinction. It's not necessarily one that is absolute. I mean, it's not something that you will can absolutely define as a distinction in, say, looking at Webster's dictionary. But a lot of people say, well, but there is some distinction there. A lot of people say, well, I believe man is responsible. Now, what they usually mean by that is the alternative word, I believe man is accountable. Okay? That's what they're talking about. When they talk about God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, that's what they're talking about. But the better word is God's sovereignty and man's accountability.
That's right, yeah.
Because the truth is, man is not responsible. Man is irresponsible.
That's exactly right.
You know, that's the problem.
Yeah.
We're not responsible. And when somebody tells you that next time, just say, well, that's wrong. Man's irresponsible. And see their reaction.
Yeah.
They'll be stumped for just a moment or two. Because they never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
Notice that man is accountable.
Yes, sir.
He's accountable. As a matter of fact, we were accountable when our father Adam stood in the garden.
Yes, sir.
And we were accountable in him. And when he failed, we fail with him.
Amen.
When he sinned, we sinned. Therefore, we find this flowing stream of depraved or of humanity in its depravity flowing from that source. And we see all these other things coming up. And the fourth one, we live lives contrary to God and in conformity to Satan. That was Ephesians chapter 2, right? We all had our way of life in time past, right? Before God quickened us. Now, I made a statement, and later after I thought about it, I made a statement that I said people are demon-possessed. There are some people who are demon-possessed. But not every person by nature is necessarily demon-possessed, but they are demonic-motivated.
Yeah.
I stated that improperly, and I want to clarify that. If somebody don't get both things, they'll find that fault there, but that's okay. I'm sure they can find others as well. But that's what it says in Ephesians. And let's just read that. I mean, it's an amazing statement, and this is Ephesians 2. This is not just about them. Okay, this is not just about the reprobate. This includes us. Right? Ephesians 2, and you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So you see, every man is demonic or this antichrist spirit motivated. Man is against Christ by nature.
Yeah.
That's what we fell into. That's what the one amazing thing about Joe and I talked a little bit about this on the phone. It's been several days ago. But I remember reading concerning the fall of Adam and Eve, and in the end, what did God do to Adam and Eve concerning the Garden of Eden? It said, God cast them out. Isn't that what it says? But now what's amazing is, after they're cast out, we find Cain and Abel being born.
Yeah.
All right? We find Cain slaying Abel, killing his brother. And God tells him, if you do right, and now this is before the murder, but if you do right, won't you be accepted? And Mason, that's a universal truth.
Yeah.
If anyone will do right in God's sight, they will be accepted. Problem is, by nature, man cannot do right. That's his problem. And Cain had first offered the fruit of the land, and I used to think of this the wrong way. I thought, well, he offered the works of his own hands. Okay? But remember, Abel also worked to keep that flock. The problem wasn't the works, It was the lack of blood.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Yes, sir.
Abel's sacrifice had blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission.
Amen.
That's the problem. It was the bloodless sacrifice. And God said, now, you've done wrong. Mm-hmm. If you do right, will you not be accepted? And then Cain becomes angry with his brother. Now, why didn't he become angry with himself? But as most natural men become, they then become angry against the truth and those whom God's been pleased to bless with the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
And he killed him.
Yes, sir.
And then it says, even after Cain's called on this, right?
Yes, sir.
On the slaughter of his brother. And did God put him out? You know what it says? And Cain went away from the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Now you see the change?
Yes, sir.
Remember? The change, when Adam fell, Adam and Eve hid.
Uh-huh.
They no longer sought fellowship with God. Did they hid? Mm-hmm. What happened to Cain? God didn't even have to put him out.
He left
God. You see, that's human nature. That is, again, I say we live lives contrary to God and in conformity to Satan.
Yes, sir.
Fifthly, we have committed, every one of us, we have committed capital crimes against God.
That's right.
Remember, the scripture says, it's clear, the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Amen.
And it's so hard to, because our fallen way of thinking isn't structured that way. We're structured in our fallen nature to categorize things as how bad are they really? Right, we're we do that in society, and probably rightfully so, because if we had a absolute strict law of justice, there wouldn't have one of us be alive. We'd be killing one another off.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
We'd be putting each other in jail, and we'd be killing each other off.
Yep.
Right,
mm-hmm.
If we had an absolute strict rule of justice, but we're structured this way, and we pick what's really bad and. I mean, I know this over here is bad, but it really doesn't affect a whole lot of people. And so we call this a lesser crime.
Yeah.
But according to Scripture, in God's sight, there is no sin that is a lesser sin than another sin.
Exactly.
All sin has the wages of what?
Death.
That's it. No matter what it is. So again, I say we committed capital crimes against God. Sixthly, we were blinded to the gospel of Christ. Now that has implications far beyond just our depravity. And I've stated some of them, but I want to state them again, because they are in fact, this truth in fact bolsters the truth for which we stand and over which in some cases we've been criticized. I'm here to say this morning that the elect person has no more ability to believe the gospel than the absolute reprobate in this world. By nature, we're blinded by Satan, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto us.
Yes, sir.
And let me say, this being true, let me say that that entails to me, along with other scripture, that the gospel itself has no power, more power over the elect than it does the non-elect or the reprobate. That is, the gospel has no inward personal ability to do anything for the elect as it does for the non-elect.
Amen. That's true.
The only way even the elect can see and understand, know, love, and believe the glory of God as it is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, declared in the gospel, is by a sovereign work of God in the soul.
Amen. That's it.
Period. Amen. You know?
That's it.
Life, there's a lot of phrases people use, but they can become confusing because some people mean them slightly different way, as Mason and I discussed for a good while one night. But whether you call it life, quickening, regeneration, all of these phrases men use. Basically, we're talking about the initial gift of spiritual life, and that does not happen through the gospel because we're blinded to it by Satan,
yes,
by nature.
Yeah, that's right.
There's nothing in me, there was nothing in me by nature that had any response toward the gospel except for hatred and rejection.
Yeah.
I hated it and rejected it just like Satan himself would.
Yes, sir.
Just like Satan himself. We were blinded to the gospel of Christ. Seventh, we were at enmity with God.
Yeah. Yes.
That's Romans 8, 7 and 8. And a similar phrase, but yet it points to a slightly different area. The eighth one was, we were the enemies of God.
Yes.
Okay, Colossians 1:21. And that's where I want to actually, I've already been there, but I want to start there and kind of begin again. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 7 and 8, basically. Let me state it again this morning. I believe I stated it before a couple weeks ago. The first one, that is Romans chapter 8, declares what we are. It declares our state, okay? Our condition by nature. The second one, that's Colossians 1:21, looks more at what we do, okay? Our actions, our deeds. Of course, we know one flows from the other. And I'm sure I mentioned this before, but this is just not something people think about. Because, you see, basically man thinks himself to be a pretty good creature. Or whatever they want to, if he's not a creature, he's a evolved thing. Whatever he thinks himself to be. He still thinks himself to be pretty good. And if he does bad, that's not a result of some inner flaw. It's actually a result of his surroundings and all the things around him. I mean, I heard a fellow this morning blaming Satan for everybody and all these people going to hell.
Yeah.
That's right. He was on the radio and he was blaming Satan for all these people going to hell. Mm-hmm. And men go to hell because they've sinned against God.
Amen.
It's not the blame doesn't fall on Satan. It's amazing to me. Well, let's just go. Romans 8, look at what it says. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be.
Amen.
So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Amen.
Now notice here we're talking about a condition. A state of being, right?
Yes, sir.
Because the carnal mind is enmity. It is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This actually is a bold, straightforward, plain statement as to the absolute depravity of the Adamic nature.
Yes, sir.
And yet you have some people who would even try to refute or make fun of, or mock the truth at this point.
You're right.
I remember one man in particular. Now, I don't know if he may even be dead now. I don't know. Joe, you would remember the one. I can't remember his name right off the top of my head. But he was talking about depravity and absolute, total depravity. And, of course, he was against it. You know? And he said, people use this verse to try to prove the depravity of man. He said, but it doesn't matter anyway because you're not saved by the law, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
What?
That makes sense.
Here's the point. A person who is not subject to the law cannot know their sinful state.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the problem.
Yes, sir.
Right? See, to be subject, it doesn't say because the carnal mind cannot obey the law, neither indeed can it obey the law. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the carnal mind is not even subject to the law of God.
Yeah.
The carnal mind has no comprehension what the law is truly there for.
Amen.
That's right. Yeah.
The carnal mind says the law is my standard and I can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what the carnal mind says. There's the law and I can at least put forth a good effort. And of course, God's an understanding God.
Yeah.
God's a loving God.
Yeah.
God's a reasoning God. So he knows if I'm really sincere, I've done the best I can, it'll be all right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the carnal mind.
Exactly. That's it.
The spiritual mind sees that law and says, I'm dead.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's right. The spiritual mind sees that law and it's subject to it. It sees what it says. It tastes what it says. I am condemned by God.
Yes, sir.
I have no hope within myself. If it's not for God in some way doing something beyond what that law says, I have no hope. The spiritual mind begins to read the law and can't even get past the first commandment.
Yeah.
Let alone begin to worry about all the others. But time passes and other things happen and you end up reading the next commandment. Mm-hmm. And you find out you're worse off than you thought you was in the beginning.
Exactly.
And the more you read, the worse off you find you are. Now there's the truth, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. God said, the law didn't say, here's what you ought to be. The law says, here's what you are.
Yes,
amen. The carnal mind says, that's what I can be.
Yeah.
I have that potential. You remember, the Apostle Paul calls the law what? A glorious condemnation of death.
Amen.
In me, I'm talking about even me. If at any time I read the law and see some sense of righteousness in myself, I'm looking at it through the carnal mind, not the spiritual mind.
That's it.
Because the carnal mind is not subject to the law. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God.
Yeah.
For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, those it doesn't even say. And we're not talking about obedience here. It says they can't please God.
That's right.
How does the spiritual mind please God? When it sees the law and sees the death and the judgment and the condemnation and the justice of it.
Yes, sir.
And the justice of it.
Yeah.
It quits griping and complaining against justice and it says, it's right. I am guilty.
Yes, sir.
How does it please God? God, I rest in Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's how it pleases God. I rest in Christ. I acknowledge and I am resolute that what you said that your son has done, I believe he's done it according to your word.
Yes.
See, again, Joey, you're right. We don't believe to be saved. We believe because we have been saved.
Amen.
And we certainly don't believe to get saved, because you can't.
Exactly.
And let's just leave it right there.
We
were at enmity with God, but also, according to Colossians 1, verse 21, we were the enemies of God. And this gives us, Joe is still looking at the same person, mm-hmm. the same nature, the same thing, but from a slightly different angle. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, where was that? Colossians chapter 1, basically this one verse, verse 21. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by what? By wicked works.
Yes, sir.
See, not only are we bad on the inside,
oh, yeah.
but it comes out on us.
Exactly.
You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Yes,
not
sir.
It may speak, not it, it sometimes speaks. It'll come out on you what you really are.
Yes, sir.
Right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And one of the differences is, a man either speaks lies or he speaks truth. Now, there's a lot of things we could boil it down. You know, we could go off on this path or that path. We could move over here or there, but it all boils down to this, either lie or truth.
Yes, sir.
That's what it boils down to. Most people, when they talk about wicked works, let's see, what are they talking about? Well, sticking hair in your arms with a needle, you know?
Yeah.
Robbing a bank.
Yeah.
Right? They don't think about that time they left 5 minutes early from work, but wrote down that they'd been there that extra 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You know what that is? You know what that's called, don't you? Embezzlement.
Yeah.
It's called, well, theft, actually. I shouldn't say embezzlement. You know, that pack of erasers they took home from work. Mm-hmm. Now, come on, simple little things.
Oh,
yeah, but that's not, I mean, that ain't like stealing people's retirements like them big guys did.
Right.
Let me tell you, in God's sight, theft is theft is theft.
Yes, sir.
I don't care whether it's a penny or whether it's somebody else's retirement. That's right. God sees no difference in it. And God ain't Robin Hood.
That's right.
God ain't Robin Hood is imagination of the Catholic mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with justice.
Yeah.
Robin Hood is not justice. It's a fairy tale story that the papacy's brought up just to try to brainwash people into thinking, oh, watch out. It is 666, that's for sure. The enemy's on the loose. And we'll just leave that like it is and let people get the tapes wondering what in the world's going on. Now it says, we were enemies in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight.
Yes.
And then it says this, if you continue in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the question I want to ask. And kind of in, what time is it? In closing this morning. Somebody said, I thought you people didn't believe you had to continue in the faith. Oh, y'all get that thing slaughtered there and then before I can start. Make sure he's dead. I don't want him crawling up somebody's britches leg.
Sorry about that.
We can't rewind that CD either, can we? We can rewind that tape, but we can't rewind that CD. Now, let's go back and look at it. Verse 21. It says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. What does it say? Yet now hath he reconciled. Ain't that it? Look at it. Ain't that something? Yet now hath he reconciled. Now, let's stop a moment. Think about it. When did he reconcile us? After we quit or stopped committing wicked works?
No.
According to Romans 5, and even this in the context, but especially Romans 5, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son even while we were still enemies.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And the truth is, the sad truth is, we still haven't totally stopped doing wicked works.
There we go.
You know? I mean, we could still be guilty of them.
Yes, sir.
Okay? But it says, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. See right there, that's when it happened. While we were still doing all these wicked works, right?
Yeah.
In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Somebody says, yeah, but they're guilty. Yeah, but he died for it.
Amen.
The penalty was death. Christ done died for it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's done.
Amen.
The punishment's done.
Yes, sir.
Right? And then it says, irreprovable if you continue in the faith. Now, here's the amazing thing. People say, why, you know, we thought you believe, you know, nobody had to continue in the faith. No, we believe all God's people do continue in the faith.
Amen.
But as a matter of fact, if you look at this, Christ only died for those who do continue in the faith.
That's right. Yes, sir.
See, they don't want to go that far with it.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It said he who died for you, put what? In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the only ones he's done it for.
That's right.
Right?
Yes,
if you're outside of that group, if you could ever come to be a part, if you ever come to be a part of it, you're going to continue to be a part of it.
No. Yes, sir.
And if you never come to be a part of it, you never did have a part in it. And see, what is amazing is where most people, we are so depraved by nature, we read the truth right there in front of us and can't see it.
That's it, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And when somebody tells us the truth, right there it is, well, that can't be right. It can't mean that.
Yeah.
No, it does mean that.
Exactly.
And listen, for these people, and there's a lot of Baptists out there. I say a lot of them. There's a lot of Baptists who believe simply because they kind of felt a little guilt one Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Kind of felt a little conviction one Sunday morning for a certain sin they got called at. And they went forward and they prayed some so-called sinner's prayer. And they think they're fixed up for life.
Oh, yeah.
And they go on about their way. Oh, they believe in Jesus and they believe in the facts of he's the Son of God. And he came into this world virgin born. And he died, rose again. He's back in heaven now. And they believe all those facts, but they're serving. Their life is all caught up with what? Self.
Amen.
Me. Flesh.
Yeah.
They're not a child of God.
That's it.
But they're told, oh, you're okay. You made your decision.
Yeah.
Right? What does it say?
Yeah.
If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which I have preached unto you. You see, the old adage is, not adage, the truth is. Well, no, let me say this. The truth is not. He that is enduring at the end, the same shall be saved.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what most people teach.
Yeah.
And there's some teaching you can get in it, out of it. Get in it and out of it. Get in it and out of it. And as long as you're in it, when he comes or you die, you're in good shape. You just don't want to die or him come back while you're out of it. Right?
That's exactly it.
Scripture says, he that endureth unto the end. No breaks, right?
That's it.
No breaks. You do not abandon. You may sin, yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but you don't ever abandon the hope of the gospel.
Amen.
You can't do it. It's in you. It's born in there by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
You can't ever abandon that inwardly.
That's it.
That's what grace does for you.
Yes, sir.
That's what it does for you. Father, I pray that as we part our ways, we'll be mindful of one another. Lord, for those who couldn't be here today, Lord, may they feel that sense of thy presence and we with them. And also that mutual fellowship we have with one another. Lord, I thank you for all those great and glorious blessings we have in Christ. And I ask in his name, amen.